Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hey, SupDoc listeners, thank you for listening. This is our 2018 Year in Review podcast episode. I'm here, Pac Romaine, with
George Chen. And
the man.
I thought you were going to say it's our 2000th episode or our 2000th attempt to record this.
Who has the most podcast episodes of any podcast? Is it What the Fuck?
No, there's people that have been around longer. I'm going to say... I don't know offhand, but Adam Curry started doing podcasts back in like 2003 or two. So he if he had the same show this whole time, even if it was a weekly show, he would have beat anyone else.
Well, Jimmy Pardo, I guess, his Never Not Funny, that's been around for a long time, right?
Yeah. I mean, it definitely there have been shows that have been around a long time. I mean, Jimmy Pardo may have created more hours of content. It's hard to say, you know? It's
well, we've been around since 2015, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I remember at the time being like, I think we might be a little late to this whole podcast bandwagon.
Oh, I know.
I was like, is it too late to start a podcast in 2015? And then now look where we are.
I know. And now people are like, well, is it too late now? It's never too. I guess basically the sum of this is it's never too late.
It's never too late to quit your podcast.
That's true, too. Always have an exit strategy. Did you know I had a podcast in 2006?
We did like
three or four episodes.
Uh-huh. What was the theme? What was the deal?
It was just a comedy. It was called Free Dirt Media. Mm-hmm. It was like Free Dirt Podcast, and it was just sketches that I wrote. And me and my buddies just did sketches.
Oh,
and then put it up on an RSS feed, and I completely forgot about it.
Yo, did you ever look at the stats?
No, I don't even know how I could. I'm not even sure.
You want to hear one of the first time I tried to podcast?
Yeah,
it was probably around the same time, and I went over to my friend John's house, and I'm just like, I want to try this thing, and I don't know exactly how it works, and I'm just gonna bring records, and we're gonna talk about these records.
Oh,
and
cool.
He had a free version of some audio software. And what we didn't realize until the very end is this free version of the software, every like 30 seconds would just be like, you're using audio blah, blah, blah. And like literally the entire thing. And we also didn't know what to do with the file when we were done. And I was kind of like, maybe we should just dub these to tapes and then hand them out to people and be like, would you like to hear my podcast? Here it is on a cassette.
That's funny.
With
dude.
That glitch in the entire thing.
You're listening to Audacity.
I don't even know if I have the file anymore, but it'd be really funny to put that out now with just like that 30-second interrupter and the whole thing.
Right. It's like a watermark for their free software.
Can I tell you my other... Okay, well, we'll do regular show. We'll do regular... It's a regular show, kind of, except without a guest, so... I don't need it. I was going to digress into a lot of stuff, but.
Well, did you do another one?
I mean, I was going to tell you, I did one other podcast other than this. Well, I guess one and a half, because I did a radio show that also put up a podcast feed.
All right.
So I guess, this is like my third show, even though that other show, I think I started after we had started this show. Oh my God. There's so much insanity. Okay. This is one thing I did for this pirate radio show. That my friend did. The idea I had was to do a mix that was different in the left channel and the right channel. And then I figured out how to do it in GarageBand, which for a while was having this weird bleed, so the left channel would bleed into the right channel and vice versa. And I finally figured out how to take care of that. And then I gave them the file. And then I wasn't able to listen to it because I wasn't in Oakland at the time. And then I heard later that they broadcast it in mono. The broadcasts were in mono. So I'm like, so
that's hilarious.
So what the fuck did my thing turn out as? Just one side or as a mix of both? I'm just I spent so much time trying to figure out how to do the split stereo. And that was the whole point of it, was it was going to be split stereo.
Oh, that's amazing. That's classic. That's some classic
Oakland pirate radio.
So 2018, George, man, this is like our best year ever, I think. In terms of a lot of terms.
Yeah. I mean, would you say in personal terms or just in terms of this show?
Oh, wow. I had personally a really good year, but I feel like, well, maybe both. Shit. I mean, we're kind of tied now to SupDoc in many different ways. So, I mean, for SupDoc, it's been easily our best year. For me, it's been a pretty good year.
Yeah, I would say it doesn't have to be best year ever in my whole life. I don't know when that was. I've definitely peaked, is what I'm saying. But this show has not. This show has not peaked. No.
Thank God. No, I keep thinking it might have peaked and then we just keep having a better year. For instance, we had our 100th episode this year, which is like pretty much the benchmark for any podcast.
Oh, yeah. There's so many podcasts that quit before they get to even 10 episodes.
I saw a breakdown, I don't know if I sent it to you, I don't remember, but I saw a breakdown this guy put together of stats, different kinds of stats for podcasts. There were something like 60% of podcasts last year did not even put out an episode in 2018.
Right.
Like the majority of podcasts didn't even put out an episode.
My other podcast put out nothing in 2018.
You're part of that.
No, for sure. I mean, that is like the kind of like how many bands quit being bands, you know?
Right.
Like
it's, that is true.
The except there's not always a digital evidence of every band that got together in a garage. So I'm just thinking about how the high failure rate of everything is. I just am always thinking about how easy it is to stop doing things. What we did is we didn't stop. We haven't stopped.
We just haven't stopped. That's it. Just don't fucking stop. And then you're around for a while that people just start to take notice because they're like, these guys never fucking stopped.
Yeah, I mean,
someone must be listening to them.
Let's be real. There's other shows about documentaries.
Not many.
There were some before we started and we were like, hey, it looks like they stopped. I think we're cool.
Right.
And then there were some after we started. And some of those have stopped also.
And then there's like people who imitated us that I think have stopped.
They didn't do the due diligence of checking that there was exactly the same concept. And I think we did bother to do that, we did the due diligence. When we started, there was no functional documentary commentary interview show at the time.
Right. And no, none. Especially with like two comedians and not film historians.
Yeah. And we've kind of modified our format as we go. But, you know what? All credit to Pure Nonfiction and Tom Powers. Apple loves them. iTunes loves that show. That show has been new and noteworthy for like forever. 2 years.
Since it launched 8 years ago, whatever.
No shade. We do different things. No. Yeah. We do different things.
No shade. Yeah. Nonfiction. You good. Our 100th episode just came out on October 29th, which is a crazy milestone, especially for like an every other week documentary comedy recap podcast with two comedian hosts that live in two different cities.
That's true. That's thrown kind of a wrench in how we do this, but in a way has it. I mean, we could been doing this Skype thing when I lived in Oakland.
Right. Yeah. When I lived in LA.
Right. Exactly. Just like, hey, Glendale's a little far for me today.
Right. Which is crazy. Yeah. I only lived like 20 minutes from you at that point.
We recorded a lot when you were down here.
Yeah. So, we got some good recordings. But for people who have not heard our 100th episode, definitely check it out because we talk and we have clips. It's basically a clip show within a clip show, essentially. Yeah. And we have Dana Gould, Megan Keister, Wayne Fetterman, clips from Yacht.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Bill Hudson, Adam Faller. A lot of music people actually in this mix. Oh, Baron Vaughn.
Also, oh, yeah. Baron
talking
Vaughn.
About his own documentary.
Yeah, Fatherless, which is awesome.
Right. So we had two people that were involved in documentaries, if not the directors of documentaries.
It would be fun to like to catch up again with Baron because now he's a dad, you know, and I'm wondering, like, is his dad back in his life full time now? And, you know,
I mean, he just had a birthday show on Tuesday. I should have gone to that show because I was curious. Cool, yeah. It was at Dynasty Typewriter. And I meant to go, and I have not seen him. And every time I pass his house, I'm like, that's where Baron Vaughn lives. I just say it to myself. I'm not telling anyone right. where it is. I'm not blowing up the spot, but yeah.
Let's give a shout out to Dynasty Typewriter and Jamie Flam.
Yes, I mean, Jamie.
They're doing good stuff.
Yeah, a former Hollywood Improv booker and also former Bay Area guy. And you know him from like sketch stuff in the Bay.
He and I worked together for localmusic.com in like 1999 or whatever the fuck it was. He and I were like
That's
shared a cubicle.
20 years ago. That is insane to me.
It's not cool.
1999.
I think it was like 2000 in the early, I don't even fucking remember actually. It was like 2000, 2001-ish.
Everyone worked at a .com for somehow back then.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
We all worked for Facebook. We all worked for Cambridge Analytica.
Yes, we do at this point. Oh, fuck. Also another cool thing that happened to us in 2018, we got a write-up by the AV Club, which is fucking awesome.
That's pretty much like, I don't know if there's a Pulitzer for podcasts, but the AV Club Podmas column, that's been like kind of on our big get wish list for a while, to the point where I was just like, do we need to hire a publicist to get in the Podmas? Turns out you don't.
No, you don't.
Sometimes people just find you randomly.
Yeah. We never asked. I mean,
I've emailed them like press releases and stuff, but I didn't think I did for
this one.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. This is West of Memphis, which was a great discussion. Yeah, part of our Mayhem Month. Great discussion with Gavin Booth. And we did that in L.A. And it was awesome. So, yeah, getting a write-up by the AV Club, it was just like, God damn, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting company that you end up in when you're, like, on the AV Club. Like, if you want to go back and find it, I have the date. It was May 21st. Thanks to Becca James. For writing us up on the show. I mean, the other shows, like Reggie Watts, the Lend Me Your Ears, got a write-up, Snap Judgment, some episode. Mm. And I also like that there is not a lot of journalism that is about specific episodes of podcasts. So that's one other thing that's really cool about what Podmas does.
Well, that's true.
Because usually it's like kind of maybe it's a show level or it's like an interview with a host, but they actually like just kind of like do, you know, and then... Mm-hmm. Not like a, you know, kind of like a review of an episode, which is puts it in context. And you're like, hey, if you've never heard 80s All Over before, here is one episode. And this is like a typical one or whatever. And I kind of felt bad because I don't think that our Mayhem series is typical of what we do. We're not always talking about children
True
being
crime.
Murdered.
No,
we got a lot of listens anyway.
Yes. Not on microphone anyways. Splitsider too. I mean, or Vulture, whatever they are now. They have like a.
Yeah.
Mark Hershon and those guys.
Yes, that's great. Yeah, they got, Splitsider got bought by Vulture, and I guess the editorial team is now like Vulture Comedy or something like that, which is great. Right. People still have their jobs. That's very rare when there is like mergers.
Amen, so, dude. Yeah.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So then highlight number three, our interview with the famed award-winning iconoclastic documentary director, Mr. Brett Morgan.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Should we tell people that you drove down specifically to do that?
Yeah, well, I did.
Yeah.
I drove down when it was smoky in San Francisco from the fire, mm-hmm. and then drove down to smoky LA to interview Mr. Brett Morgan. But it's one of those, it's fucking worth it kind of things,
yeah.
you know. First of all, I like drunkenly tweeted and he answered back. So then it's like, how do you not, you know, how do you not go?
Yeah.
And I love, he's one of my favorite documentary filmmakers. So like just getting a chance to just sit down and talk to, and I mean, neither of us knew what was going to happen. I had no idea what to expect.
Yeah.
You know,
I was worried I'd have to like bone up on all of his films, but it's kind of like, you got the Rolling Stones one. I'm going to cover Chicago 10. We're kind of going to get his whole career covered pretty
right.
much.
Well, and then, The Kid Stays in the Picture is one of the documentaries I've seen the most.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing what we're getting ourselves into. And he ended up being awesome and lovely and spending 90 minutes plus with us talking about docs and his movies and stuff. You know, it's awesome to just sit there and like see like someone's brain whirling is really cool, especially of his, you know, magnitude or whatever.
Yeah, for sure.
And so that was awesome. So thank you, Brett. And hopefully, George, when his new documentary that he told us about that we cannot mention yet, hopefully we'll be able to get back down there and talk to him about it, because that's going to be a good one.
I mean, yeah, we now have some direct linkage to him, and that's going to be, we can't tell you what it is, but gosh, I really.
It's going to be amazing.
Yeah. Let's say it's someone who has not had a definitive documentary done about them, but is
right.
like one of the most fascinating people of the last century. So,
Yep. Hey, can you do your reggae air horn?
Do I do a reggae air horn?
Don't you?
You mean a vuvuzela? What are we talking about? Like,
you know, the DJ.
Well,
there you
that's
go.
Just kind of a general air. It doesn't have a lot of reggae
that's just general?
In it. It's not.
Oh, okay.
It has.
No, it's not in the bubble.
I don't know why it would be. I mean, I've been listening to a ton of reggae, but.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Mad Scientist?
You know, I don't always know the names, mm-hmm. but I, sure. it's been like when you drive in LA, it's good to have something to chill you out. But anyway,
you got to,
speaking
dude,
of driving in LA,
yeah.
I drove up twice to the Bay for mm-hmm. our live shows we did this last year.
Right. Yeah, and what, man, awesome. Because it's, you know, it's like we've done a few live shows, but you never know what you're going to get, especially when you're inviting the public to come. Like, you don't know if anyone's going to show up. You don't know if anyone's going to care, you know.
Yeah.
And it's awesome when they fucking do. So you're right. We did the United States of Detroit live in Oakland at the New Parkway Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, there was what, 50, 60, 70 people there? It was awesome.
So, yeah, it was a lot of people. I mean, I've definitely been to shows at the New Parkway in the big room that were felt much more empty than that. I've done
yeah.
comedy to rooms that felt more
right.
empty. But
yes, oh, me too.
I mean, to go back to that, I mean, we've done two or three live shows. Only one of them did we show a feature length film, and that one was like, I think, about an hour.
Yeah.
We've only shown shorts. So these
right.
were two, like, you know, over hour long feature-ish.
Well, the two you're talking about is United States of Detroit
yeah.
and Freaks and Geeks, the documentary. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we had the director in both of them, Tyler Norwood and our buddy Brent Hodgey. They were both in attendance mm-hmm. with us, which was very cool of them. And
on the night the Warriors won on the Freaks and
oh
Geeks.
Oh, my God.
Night.
That's right. That's right.
People losing their minds. I was like, is this going to affect our weird nerdy high school comedy documentary. Those jocks don't care.
No, they don't. Those two audiences don't mix. Yeah. The Warriors fans and nerdy documentary freaks and geeks fans. And yeah, that was really cool. That was an awesome to be able. And it was like before it actually aired, the Freaks and Geeks documentary. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
got an exclusive look at that with Brent Hodgie, who's been on the show before. He's a friend of the podcast. We had a really good turnout. It's like George said, it was the day that Warriors fucking beat Cleveland, which was awesome. And I was really sick. I had some crazy flu bronchitis thing.
I was walking around from like Bernal over to that part of the Mission. I'm like, it's a ghost town. I've never been around on a Friday in the Mission where it's like this, other than like when it snowed one time or something.
That's right. Yeah. And speaking of famous directors, Judd Apatow retweeted us when we talked about our talk with Wayne Federman and the Zen Diaries of Gary Shandling, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, no, that is probably one of the biggest persons, one of the biggest people, persons, Twitter accounts to retweet us at all. And obviously Wayne was a producer on Zen Diaries, or as he would say,
they go way back.
I'm not a major, I don't want to blow it up. I don't want to say it all.
You do a Wayne. You do Wayne.
You know?
That's pretty good.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
God bless Wayne Federman. Comedy. I mean, I guess Zen Diaries of Gary Shandling and Freaks and Geeks, you know, this pocket of like comedy documentaries. There's been a bunch of new comedy documentaries about, you know, there's that one about National Lampoon. There was that one about the Dana Carvey show. What is the Dana Carvey show?
Yeah. Too Funny to Fail.
Too Funny to Fail.
Yeah. That was really good. We should do a block of just comedy. I mean, there's the Jamie Kennedy one about being heckled. Mm-hmm. There's the stand up going on tour one.
Oh, you mean Comedians of Comedy? Is that the one you're thinking of?
The what?
The Comedians of Comedy, that one with Patton Oswalt and Bamford.
No, not with Pat, not that one, but that's another one. Yeah. No, there's he's actually tweeted at us a couple times. He made
Yes. That guy.
Yeah, he made some. Yep.
We should probably pause and find his name and put it in.
We'll find it. Maybe we'll put it in the show notes. Let's just put it in the show notes. But we should do a block of comedy since you and I are comedians, because there are some great documentaries about comedy.
The United States of Detroit, I just want to tell people to go back and check that out in our feed. We try to make it, it's not widely accessible as a doc, but I mean, it's not streaming anywhere really, but we had a screener link, which I think we could maybe still share if you want to check it out. And we had Corinda Dobbins, who is a native Detroiter, very funny comedian, Oakland-based, also as a panelist on that show. And I think we took like the topic of a dying city and made it fun. I mean, it's a very sincere like social justice film. And I think we handled the tenor of that pretty well and managed to still get a couple laughs out of it somehow.
If you do want to see the screener, email us at supdocpodcast@gmail.com. We'll see about being able to get you a screener for it, because it's really good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's awesome.
And thanks to Ben Sinclair, who helped organize the entire thing and drove with me up and down. So we did a lot of car time United States of Detroit screening at the New Parkway. Also, a great venue in Oakland, New Parkway.
Yeah.
Got to support it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So another great thing that's happened to us in 2018 is we nearly doubled our listeners from last year, which is awesome. So thank you guys out there who are supporting SupDoc and talking about SupDoc and telling people about SupDoc and listening.
And listening to like back episodes. Like I feel like, you know, they're all, I don't have a favorite child is what I'm saying. Check out all of our children, all 100 of our children that we have.
Yeah. I mean, all of our interviews have been, the thing is we've talked to some big name people, but we've also talked to people who maybe you don't know their name. You may not recognize them, but they're really smart, very funny people, really interesting people, because like, you know, sometimes we get friends on that you may not have heard of, but you probably will at some point. And if not, they're still very funny and smart, you know, and they've picked some documentaries that are awesome. And that's another great thing about, I mean, I started before this podcast, I was a giant documentary fan and I'd watched a lot. But since doing this podcast, I've certainly gotten to watch some that I probably wouldn't have watched, you know. Mm-hmm. And so that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, there is a backlog of ones that everyone yells at me that I haven't seen. So mm-hmm. I definitely am now. I just watched a 3.5-hour documentary I'll talk about later. But just awesome. On my own, that had nothing to do with this show.
On your lonesome.
Well, like, just like, oh, wow. I'm like, you know what? I don't know if I can make this a topic on the show, but I'm going to try to shoehorn it in somehow because I did the work. But right. It's actually, you know, it's always a format that I am, you know, we have always been interested in and have I like to tell people about, like, the Cane Toads documentary or whatever. Right. So, like, I'm always like, finding like weird things and being like, oh, you heavy don't know metal about this lot. You gotta watch this thing.
Yeah, so. Well, like Marjo, I always bring mm-hmm. that one up, and you've seen it now, right?
I've seen like half of it, and I will finish it one day. You haven't seen the Cane Toads one, have you?
I did.
Okay,
yeah,
you did. Okay,
when we were talking about using it for Sketchfest, yeah. I watched it. Yeah,
it's pretty funny. It's pretty good.
It's pretty good. Yeah. So then, you know, part of doing this podcast is traveling, like George mentioned earlier. So we were kind of around the map this year in 2018. Yeah. We recorded in Los Angeles. We recorded in San Francisco. We recorded in Oakland.
Yeah.
You were in Minneapolis.
Yes. And we recorded in Culver City. That's where... You know, right. Like, I like that you said SF and Oakland. It's like, yeah. We need to specify all, like, we've never done it. We're going to crack Albany next year.
Well, we've never recorded in Oakland before.
I guess I've recorded at Will's in Berkeley, but I guess you're right. We never had. Is that our first Oakland?
That was our first Oakland
That's
experience.
So
yeah.
Weird. I lived there for so long. It feels like so oh, much of nope. my life was there.
Nope. Jamie DeWolf. We went to Oakland.
Yes.
For his Scientology Going Clear talk, which is still our most listened to episode.
Where we were threatened, not by him, but we were just given the skinny, like, hey, some people might follow you home after you come to my house.
And we also were blessed by the group Anonymous with a transcript of the interview.
Not to be confused with QAnon.
No, please don't confuse that.
Don't confuse those two God. People. I did a little traveling for comedy. I got to go to Calgary, which was great, and do a festival out there. I also like
what
did
was the festival?
Oh, the festival's called Sled Island. The band Deerhoof asked me to come do comedy there, and that was, I'm like, I never had ever thought that I would do comedy in Calgary, let alone at a music festival, but there you go.
Right.
And then I did some sets in Minneapolis when I was there in July as well. Yeah.
Right on. Well, that's the cool thing about comedy and podcasts. You never know what's next. You never know what's going to happen. Yeah. I mean, that's our life. I mean, you and I are both comedians, podcasters, and actors. You never know like what's happening next week.
Yeah. No, I know that I'm not getting booked for acting. That's all I know. That's the one thing that's for
okay.
sure.
Well, maybe I'll just drop
that. Oh, no. I mean, and then you were doing a lot of Southern dates this year, right?
Yeah, I did a ton. I did
You really
Huntsville.
Cracked that market. I don't know how you did that.
Well, Killer Bees, man. Mm. I got to give it to my boy, Killer Bees. He and his wife, Terry, they've been so nice to me. I feel like an adopted son. They took me on the road. So I did Huntsville at Stand Up Live. I did Comedy Spot in Chattanooga. I did Zanies in Nashville. I went back to my small hometown of Coldwater, Michigan, and did a headlining spot down there. Did a bunch in Michigan and Chicago and Indiana, but not really clubs. Those were like kind of bar shows, but I did clubs in the South. And also, you know, here in town, finally got to feature at Cobb's, which was one of my big goals.
Oh yeah. That big room.
The big room, baby. I've been featuring at the Punchline for a while, but I've never gotten a feature weekend yet. So I just got that at Cobb's, which was really cool.
Yeah. Congrats. And then are you headlining at Roosters?
I am. Thank you so much for asking.
This will come out after that happens, but I assume it was a good show.
This will be before.
Oh, it'll be before?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, it's January.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then I was wrong. Then plug it.
So this will... Yeah, January 6th, come see me at Rooster Tea Feathers in Sunnyvale, California. Please do, actually, because this is actually my first... I've never been hired by a comedy club to headline. This is my first time.
That's a big one. Yeah, that's huge. So how long do they have? You're going to do, like, what, 45, an hour?
I hope 45. Yeah. I don't. I'm so nervous, dude. I have a lot of anxiety around this show right now. And actually, it feels good to talk about it out loud because it's my first time. And I know it's kind of an audition for a week. So,
yeah,
I'm looking at my set list right now. I have it taped to my wall just to constantly go over it in my head.
If you are in Sunnyvale, Cupertino, the greater San Jose area,
Palo Alto,
Redwood
yeah.
City, come on down to Roosters in
please.
Sunnyvale. They will microwave some popcorn for you.
They will. You might get a hot dog.
You might need to park two blocks away in some lovely trees.
Oh, no, they have a parking. They have a parking spot. Yeah.
Good ramen. Very good ramen in Sunnyvale. Get some ramen before you go to the show.
Yeah, very good ramen. Do you listen to any podcasts right now?
Oh, my God. Podcast? Have I not talked to you about what I've been doing for my job for the last, 9 months? I've dipped into, at this point, I'm going to say I've dipped into, which is listen to at least 3 or 4 minutes of probably 1,000 podcasts. And I don't think I'm allowed to talk about it too in depth.
Can you say where you work?
I think you can find it on LinkedIn if you want. Don't know what I'm allowed. I sign NDAs and shit.
Right. None of us read those things, though.
Yeah. Well, so. I don't want to I don't want this to be the reason I get fired.
No, you don't.
Bragging about how many podcasts I listen to.
Right. But part of your job is to listen to podcasts.
Yes. Part of my job
but
is now that.
But let me just go back to, is there one, though, that you've been listening to regularly that you really dig, that you just kind of got into?
A recent one that I've gotten into is Daily Zeitgeist, which has been around for a while, but those guys always have friends. I just listened today, our friend Allison Stevenson was on there, a bunch of other comedy and comedy tangential people are on that show, and it's ostensibly kind of a pop culture news show, but they do it every day. Cool. And I'm just amazed at the shows manage to do daily. Cause we can barely do what I call every fortnightly. This is another thing about listening to podcasts. I don't like when people say bi-weekly and they mean every other week. That's fortnight is
twice a month.
And it's a very popular word right now. So let's just say fortnight.
Yes. I love fortnight.
No. What about you? I've been listening to your podcast. You've been loving?
I've been listening to two, Slow Burn, which I listened to seasons in 2 days.
Yeah.
So
Slow Burn's
good.
Great. Yeah. Leon Neyfakh.
Genius.
Yeah.
Yeah. Geniusly done, a Slate podcast.
Great writer.
Really. Oh, good writer. Compelling voice. Can really tell a story well with different people, different talking heads. He has these teasers that are awesome. It's really good. If you're into politics, first season's about Watergate, second season's about Clinton, and the third season sounds like there was a teaser. It sounds like it's going to be about the 2000 election between Gore and Bush, which will be a really fascinating as well. Yeah, maybe. And then the second one is Let's Talk About Sets, which are these two guys out of New York City who have New York City comedians on, and they talk about different kinds of genres of comedy. So they'll be this one episode will be about characters. The next episode will be about storytelling. The next episode will be about just your opener. Mm-hmm. And as a comedian, I love digging deep into comedy. I love the minutiae of the comedic, framing and foundations and stuff. So I get off in that.
Yeah.
But those are great podcasts.
Craft,
if you guys are
craft
into politics
comedy. I got to give a shout to one of our documentary pals who has a podcast, who's always given us some love on the social meds. And that's Chris Parkhurst over Documentary Life. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you,
your
Chris.
Support. And while we're doing those shouts, Deborah at Comedy Cake has also been really nice about running any pieces about us. Anything. And documentarynews.com, check it out. Our buddy Chris down in the peninsula runs that. Just kind of an aggregator of anything related to documentary world. They haven't announced the nominations for the Oscars yet, have they? I don't think they have.
No.
They're doing it on a rolling basis. I'm really curious about what's going to come out this year for that. Going back, things that you liked in 2018, any sets that you liked doing? I mean, I guess all these Southern runs with Killer Bees, is that your favorite stuff you were doing?
Yeah, I mean, I had some favorite sets at Zany's in Nashville, and they talk about how that club is like in the top five comedy clubs, and now I see why. The crowds are amazing. The green room, you step out of the green room and right onto the stage, which is really cool. It's a great way to do it. Just set up beautifully. The booker is amazing. The owner, I got to meet the owner. He's great. I added some real, and I got to not only feature for Killer when I was there, but I featured for Rachel Feinstein as well.
Yeah. Very funny.
And she was awesome, very funny. And I did have some really good sets that I really enjoyed, which is not often, in our lives.
It can be a little bit of a grind sometimes. Yeah. The aforementioned Calgary gigs I did, I had two gigs, and then the rest of the time was just like hanging out and going to see bands that I hadn't seen in a long time, which is like my friend Mount Erie Phil, I hadn't seen for a couple of years, so it was good to see him in a church. But yeah, I did a set with two nights with pretty much the same comics. Beth Stelling was headlining the first night, and then she did a drop in the second night, and some other great Canadian comics from Toronto I'd never met before, Hudo Hersey. And Robbie Hoffman, who lives here, and Carol Zuckley, who's very funny. Yeah, so I got to hang out with those guys and do sets with them.
That's cool.
I got to do this festival in Rhode Island, in the little town of Newport, Rhode Island. And I got to do two.
I've been to Newport.
Nights. You have?
I went to the Newport Jazz Festival in 1992.
What?
Because they did a tribute to Miles Davis. The entire festival was a tribute to Miles Davis. So my buddies and I got from Detroit, drove to Newport, Rhode Island for the weekend.
Did you have to take a ferry with your car?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
We actually camped on a slab of concrete that they had on the mainland. And then you took a ferry to the festival. And then actually A&E filmed it. And you can see us because we're the only people dancing and standing up during the entire festival. We got kicked out and then we got managed out of a jazz festival.
Yeah, no, Newport's not real into standing and dancing. It's a very lawn
old
chair.
And rich.
Wine situation. But yeah, no, you got to see Miles though.
No, it was a tribute because he just died. He died in 91.
Never mind.
So it was the Miles Davis tribute band was Wallace Roney, Herbie Hancock, Ron Carter, Tony Williams, Wayne Shorter.
Mm-hmm.
And they played for like 2 hours, all Miles Davis songs. It was amazing.
Oh, man. Well, I did not remember when Miles Davis died.
That's fine.
That's on me.
I think September 23rd, 1991, I think. Something like that.
Oh, yeah. Newport, weird little town. Thank you to Doug Key for throwing that awesome festival, Rogue Island Festival. Got to meet a bunch of comics from all over. I got to do sets with Mark Normand. That was fun.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
He's so funny.
Yeah. He was great. He did a slightly different set for two different sets. I'm just this guy's just really got all of this stuff in his brain, huh? He really has it all locked in.
And he has a fun podcast too.
Oh, he does. Yeah. With your buddy, right?
Yeah, Joe List. Yeah. Tuesdays with Morning. I also saw Harmar that we haven't talked about.
Oh, yeah. You saw him when you were home?
No, at the rickshaw stop here just a couple weeks ago.
Did you talk to him?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I got a picture with him and I talked to him and hung out. And yeah, he's awesome. I've been a fan for so long. I'm so glad I finally
got to
see him.
Did you tell him about the show? Did he know what you're talking about? Or was he just like, what is that? Because he had a podcast for a minute.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't mention it. It was not like that. It was late after the show. There was drinking involved.
Okay, so yeah.
It was more like party time, good times.
You know, sometimes you just can't bring it up organically in a conversation without it being like, let me get real thirsty for a second.
Yeah, exactly. But maybe next time. I don't know.
Well, that's our 2018. That was a fun 2018.
Oh my God, what a great year. And thank you for everybody. And if you like this show, please share it with your friends, tell them about it. Because documentaries, thankfully, are making a huge comeback. So there's going to be tons of docs coming out in 2019 that are going to be awesome as well. For instance, some docs that I'm excited to see that I've been hearing about is the Gilda documentary, which is a CNN production.
Okay.
You'll be able to see that's about Gilda Radner, obviously, famous comedian and from SNL. And then the slightly different is the Ted Bundy, which is a
also comedy.
I think a 3 or 4 part series on Netflix that's coming out about Ted Bundy and specifically about the murder that put him away. The one, not the 30 that he did or whatever. Oh. But this is specifically about
always that one technicality they get you on, that one murder.
They get sloppy at the end. Yeah, they kind of are like, no one's ever going to, you know, convict me. So
yeah, I don't know a lot about Ted Bundy, so I will probably not watch that anyway because I'm okay kind of having a little bit of ignorance about that one.
Right.
Like
I love true
Dahmer,
true crime
Bundy.
Docs,
I don't need to get into those guys too deep.
Mm. I would watch a Dahmer. I don't love him obviously, but I love true crime documentaries.
Yeah. I think I'm of a split mind on most of them. Like I did not I did not even bother watching Making Murderer 2.
Yeah, it's not even necessary, really. Yeah. Nothing happens. No spoilers here, but nothing happens. So, whatever.
There were many cliffhangers in that first one though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. And then we have the Onion documentary is coming out some point soon.
Yeah. I don't think it's all. Well, what's online is just a segment about the Onion and their 9/11 issue. This is like a film called Too Soon about, you know, comedy after 9/11 that Julie Seebaugh, the comedy journalist, is involved in. So I think she send us the link?
She did.
So they put like a, you know, like maybe 12 minute portion of the doc, which is all about like when the Onion also moved to New York. They moved to New York right before this happened. And then
right before 9/11.
Yeah.
And when George mentions issue, they're not like, they don't have an issue with 9/11. They had an issue.
Yes.
About 9/11. Yes. So not to get that confused.
Not to add a lexical ambiguity to a comedy topic. I'm looking forward to seeing that. I mean, speaking of comedy docs, there's this other realm of like, is comedy about the Holocaust okay? There's a documentary about that that's on Netflix, which I can link in the name of. But I also wanted to mention there is a doc that is going to be available by the time we actually are. This is on the air, which is a Netflix doc. Unfortunately have not been able to get the screener to work, but I wanted to just mention there's a film called Struggle, the Life and Lost Art of Sukowski, which is a artist, and it's produced by Leonardo DiCaprio,
and his dad.
So this is like, apparently this guy is a total character who is created a bunch of art, and you know, he made sculptures for friends in the comics world. It sounds really interesting as an archival weird art guy. So that's Struggle, the Life and Lost Art of Sukowski, which is going to be available on Netflix now. So, you know, but sometimes those things take a week or two to really catch fire, you know?
Yeah, they kind of get buried. That's kind of what I like about Netflix. It's also what's kind of aggravating about Netflix, but I kind of like the discovery part of Netflix.
You know what I just...
I was going to say, which brings me to just a couple points. We've been getting hit up a lot more by publicists for movies and documentaries and for comedians and actors, whatever. So if you are a publicist and just happen to be listening to this or no one, feel free to send us people or documentaries you might be covering that are clients.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, if you are watching documentaries, which you probably are because you're listening to this podcast, feel free to record yourself on your phone reviewing a doc and then email it to us. And then we'll put it up on our podcast. Because basically, like, we started this podcast because the next day thing around the water cooler, people talking about documentaries, that's kind of what this show is about. It's about enjoying your reviews and recaps of documentaries. And so feel free to record something and send it to us.
Yeah. Yeah. We've run a couple of those in the past. Those are always fun when we get those. Definitely. We want to have engagement with you, the audience, and we want to, like, you know, spread this conversation. This, you know, hopefully our show inspires people. I've heard some people say that they've not seen the documentary and they'll listen to the show and it'll help them decide they do want to see the documentary. And then
yeah, so we absolutely sort
of provide some context for them around it. So yeah, that's definitely something that we should do. Yeah, definitely email us with whatever. Email us with anything. Email us if you think we got right. something totally wrong.
Absolutely.
Like some people really were not happy with my comments about Mr. Rogers.
No, they were not.
I'm like, that's fair. I just told someone the other day my issue with the Mr. Rogers thing too. So, you know, and they were just like,
yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
It's all about dialogue.
Yeah, for sure.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Do you want to talk about this new segment that we want to do?
I do, yeah, because, I mean, we're in basically 2019 conversation, and it was your idea, so why don't you
I'm going to try to do this. We're going to try to do this with our guests when, you know, obviously there's some pre-recorded ones we haven't done, but I want it to be almost like a Shark Tank thing. Like, we're going to kind of just, like, pitch each other a concept for a documentary, and the other person may or not know about the subject matter at all, but it's always going to be, well, here's this real thing that no one's made a documentary about yet. And you can even, like, sort of pitch, like, the style or the director you'd like it to be in. So have you thought about this, Paco? Have you thought about what you'd want to pitch?
Oh, my God, yeah. There's so many. Tons. First of all, one of my favorite stories is about this Polish bear in World War II that helped our allies.
And the animal, not a hairy gay man.
Right. Yeah. Not, well, there's probably that too. But no, an animal, a Polish bear, helped bring ammunition and food, and even scared some of our enemies by just being a big bear. They would strap ammunition to him and food, and he would crawl through enemy lines bringing stuff to our buddies. And he was famous because he smoked cigarettes, he drank beer, and he would also wrestle with the soldiers. And he finally retired to a zoo in Ireland, where every year people who survived and worked with him would go and drink a beer with him at this zoo in Ireland.
And what is the name of this bear?
I was trying not to get there because I don't remember.
I remember you pronounced it differently than it's spelled, like Wojtek or something like that.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, I should have written it down. I don't remember right now. But people can look it up on Wikipedia. It's such an awesome story. I'm surprised no one's made a movie about it. I mean, it's perfect for a movie.
Right. If there's just still photos, right? There's no like film.
I've never seen video.
You know, there's still
but
photos.
There's photos.
Yeah, you can make, these days, you can totally make a documentary with just still photos. Or, you know what?
Right.
It could be a podcast about this bear.
Right. Yeah. Dude, it's crazy. I mean, and then also Malice in the Palace, which is the famous big fight between the Pacers and the Pistons in like 2002 or whatever it was, early 2000s, where everything went to hell. There's never been a 30 for 30 about it. I think for specifically because of the NBA does not want people to remember that this happened, but it would be an awesome 30 for 30. And I think Brett Morgan, if you are listening, you should
wait.
Make
so
it.
What is so controversial about this game?
Cause it was a huge brawl.
Oh,
it
the
was
fight.
Ron Artest, okay. Mm-hmm. The fight, it went into the stands cause it's Detroit. So my fellow, you know, some Detroiters came onto the floor with their fists up trying to fight like pro NBA players like that are 8 feet tall and 280 pounds. It was crazy. And it lasted for a long time. It was a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's just never been anything about it.
You should probably, maybe you and Wayne Fetterman should work on that together.
Oh my God.
Because he is like the basketball historian too.
That's right. Oh, that's a good, wow. That's an interesting idea. What about you? What would you pitch?
Okay. So recently Ricky Jay died, who is a famous magician.
Right.
And I started reading this New Yorker piece with him from like 93. He was like best friends with like David Mamet. I think he's in Boogie Nights. I think he's one of the cameramen in Boogie Nights. He's a magician.
Oh, he is.
I knew him as that. Right. And I didn't realize, like, oh, this guy's like one of the best magicians, close-up magicians in the world, people say, like technically for like the last century, and a magic historian. And then it got me thinking there should be a thing about Ricky Jay, but then I got even more into this whole thing about he had some like beef with the Magic Castle. And do you know about the Magic Castle, Paco?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Have you been ever?
It was right by where I lived.
Yeah, you lived
I lived
by
like a block
thing.
From there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You ever get to go up there or anything? You have to wear like a suit to go up there. It's a very formal.
Oh, right.
But I was just thinking that it would be insane to do like a Frederick Wiseman style documentary about the Magic Castle, like the way he covers like institutions. Just like what goes on in the kitchen at the Magic Castle. How does the booking work? You know, without even giving away any tricks, you could just do a whole thing about like the infrastructure of this weird private club that's been around LA, one of the oldest things in LA, and like how they keep everything so secretive. But there's no way they would let you make it. It's like you would need to just be filming. And it would have to be like, well, this place just actually went under, and now all these things can be revealed about it. But that would be a
or
dream
kind of like,
if you could make like this kind of like, you know, not even like a critique, just like a fly in the wall, verite, Magic Castle.
Right. I mean, it's kind of be like Going Clear. It would be like archival footage. Maybe people snuck in. You know, hidden cameras.
Very similar to Going Clear, like in the level of it's a castle in Los Feliz, basically in Hollywood.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's a great idea. I was the Ricky Jay thing because they have a ban. Let's see. They have a ban on different kinds of magic there. You can only do, I think, close up magic. You can't do like big illusion stuff. Or maybe it's the opposite. It's something along those lines.
When we were there, we saw like a stage show, which had like puppets and some, you know, maybe bigger set pieces. But they they have all these side rooms that are dedicated to like card tricks and like very close up magic and like this really steep theater setting. So everyone could get a good view of the table and just kind of have a perfect view of what's happening. It really is like a pretty unique experience, and the food is okay and very expensive. And that is the other part of the magic, is that I'm like, oh, where did $50 just go? But it is like an experience worth doing. But yeah, I think for a lot of people, they're never going to get to go. It would be amazing to have some kind of like official condoned.
Right. Yeah.
A film made about it. Probably 3D film should be made in there. You know, like some surround video, you know.
So if I just looked it up, it's Wojtek is the bear.
Wojtek. Yeah.
Wojtek is how it's pronounced. Yeah, if you can look it up in Wikipedia and read about Wojtek, it's pretty awesome. And look up the Magic Castle if you don't know
anything
about
it. And if you want to combine in your own mind, if you just kind of like weren't really listening very hard to what we just said for the last 3 minutes, you think there's a magical bear that drinks alcohol, smokes cigarettes, gets in brawls on basketball courts, and is best friends with David Mamet. So,
and it's not Guy Branum.
So he's hard. I don't think he's that hairy of a guy.
Oh, you know, okay.
In general, he's a big man. Okay. But yeah, no, he is not. He might be helping soldiers. We don't know.
Right.
So that's like the new segment. So pitch the doc. I would like it to be
like it.
Yeah, I feel like either it's going to be you and me pitching the doc to the guest. Right. And they decide which one they're going to green light. They have one, and then one of us just is the judge. I think that's the way it's got to go. I won't vote for you all the time.
Good. Do not.
We've got Dana Gold back here. You're going under the bus. I'm going to go whatever his idea is.
Yeah. Smart. Should we mention biopsy or not?
Yeah. Why don't we just talk about this idea that we had? We were thinking maybe we're going to do some new segments about the wave of biopics that are coming out. I mean, in a way, you could almost say something like Welcome to Marwen could count as a biopic. It's anything that's sort of based on a real real events. But, you know, if there was already documentary made about it, then ripping apart the fictional narrative version would be a pleasure.
I mean, everything from Bohemian Rhapsody to Tanya to Ray. There's so many biopics. Yeah. And I don't know if
Green Book, I guess, would count as a biopic. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's some awesome ones and then there's some horrible ones. So, yeah. I mean, I love the idea and I think we should try it out.
Yeah, it'll be like the same format of what we do for docs, but, you know, maybe in a way where we can shit on celebrities more. So, yeah.
That would be awesome. They need it. Speaking of shitting on celebrities, no. Speaking of nothing in particular, Sketchfest 2019, we're back, baby. We are back.
Last year off.
Yeah, we did.
We voluntarily took 2018 off.
Yes, we did. It's hard. It's a lot of work for this show, but it's awesome. And this year we decided to change it up a little bit. So we're back in Sketchfest next year, which is in San Francisco. We're at Piano Fight January 12th at 5:30 p.m. It's free to the public, so please come. But this year, instead of watching a doc and then having a panel talk about, we have a game show that we're going to do. The world's only comedy interactive documentary game show.
Yeah, documentary trivia, and we got great comedians doing it.
Our lineup is amazing.
Yeah, great lineup. We got from San Francisco comedy scene and New York comedy scene and LA comedy scene, Kate Willett.
And Netflix.
Yeah, just had her Netflix. What are those shows called? The comedians?
15-minute chunks? I don't know.
Yeah. She's got one of those. We got another former Brief Bay Area guy, Mike Drucker, a New York comic, great writer, wrote for The Tonight Show, wrote for, I believe, Bill Nye. He's done a bunch of different writing stuff. Used to be in San Francisco.
And The Late Show.
Working on a gaming website. Yeah, Late Show. And Alex Falcone from Portland. He runs great shows up there. He's been in San Francisco a bunch of times. I met him down at Lost Weekend years ago. He's going to be doing our show. And Molly Sanchez, who has been a guest on our show, has her own two podcasts, Read All Over about Handmaid's Tale and Failure to Launch.
Failure to Launch, yeah. And Alex has actually been on Portlandia a bunch.
Oh, yeah, right. Alex has been on Portlandia and does some live variety talk show hosting in Portland. Does festivals, yeah. Funny guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm excited to do it. Yeah, we've been working on this idea for the game show. We really need to get cracking on the writing on that because things start to lag around the holidays. So you got to keep plugging away at the writing. But yeah, we're going to have a whole new thing for you guys. And, I don't want to give away too much because
Yeah, it'll be fun. Yeah. It's free. It's at Piano Fight, which is a great bar. It's at 5:30. Stay for Sup Doc and then go to some of the other Sketchfest shows afterwards. It's going to be awesome. Yeah. So, yeah, again, Saturday, January 12th at Piano Fight. You can get find out more information on sfsketchfest.com.
Yeah, and like, yeah, it's a really good time slot between a bunch of shows. I mean, Mike, when I booked Mike, he was like, "Where is it?" I'm like, "It's exactly where you have a show at 10 p.m. So you can just hang out for a while."
Right. So, yeah. We'll also put the link in the show notes put a link as well in there, for this. Oh, we'll just link up a bunch of shit for you guys, actually.
Hey, let's link to Patreon.
And we'll also link to our Patreon. What is Patreon? It's a way for you to support us. Please support us. Even a buck a month. We have $1 Patreon supporters. We have $5 Patreon supporters. We have, I think at one point we had
$7 Patreon. We had the options had for more.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is a labor of love. We basically volunteer to do this. Matter of fact, this year I spent money. You know, so any kind of support that you guys could have besides just listening, which is awesome, even a buck a month would be amazing and extremely appreciated. So let's give some plugs to our Patreon supporters.
Yeah. So thank you to our patrons. We've got Annette Marines, Alina Mansfield, John Schenberger, James Woo-hoo. Rayling, Janet Woo-hoo, Flemmer,
Jimmy,
Eric Stoyer,
Janet.
Who's been on the show.
Let's get out there, Eric.
Mike Shiflett.
Oh, that's right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you guys. The mighty, awesome. The few, the mighty, keeping our hosting fees going. We each now own an H6. You
that's
supplemented
right.
that, so thank you so much. And I just got these lovely pop screen filters.
Those are lovely. Those are just like mine.
I'm going to be curious to go back and hear how much better my peas are through this show.
Oh, they're going to be so non-plosive.
Yeah, I remember when, before I had this very cheap thing that made everything sound better. So
that's right. But so that is it, folks. We had an amazing 2018. George, good job, buddy.
Paco, happy 2018 to you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. And also Will Scovel.
Will Scovel, keeping it together. Big year for Will. He's not here.
Big year for Will.
He got a dope podcasting job.
He
so
did.
So we don't want to blow that up too
kind
much.
Kind of through our, because of our podcast.
Not going to say because.
Actually,
yeah. Well, Noelle, let's just say it helped.
We were a pass.
For sure.
Yeah, it helped. Yeah. There you go. But thank you, Will, who's our engineer and producer. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being part of this for the last 3 years.
3 years.
We couldn't do it without you guys.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Coming up on 4 in May, dude.
Oh, my God.
4 years.
This could have gotten a BA in this time.
You could be a lawyer. Who knows?
Well,
but thank you everybody for listening. We're going to have a great 2019. Please stay part of our trip here at Sup Doc. And, feel free to tweet at us, email us, let us know what you think, review all that.
Retweet,
stuff.
Instagram,
retweet,
all that stuff, Russian infiltration of all your social media.
Send us
feeds.
Some bots.
Yeah, send us
some bots, baby.
Bot us up. Hey, what I like to say, Paco? You can't spoil reality.
There you go. We've tried, but you can't. Yeah, the truth is always better than reality.
It's already been
fiction.
Spoiled.
It's been spoiled. All right, thanks guys. We'll see you in 2019.
Bye.